everybody, and welcome to Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick. My name is Jay.
I'm Nick.
And I'm comfortable Theon Greyjoy.
And welcome to the show. How are you doing, guys?
Great.
Doing great. Fantastic.
Yes, we are here to talk about the sixth episode of Game of Thrones, and possibly one of the more controversial of the entire show. It seems to have, you know, at least half of the internet up in arms.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I guess the main point here, the main sticking point, was because at the end, we're going to kind of skip ahead to the end of this episode, but was it necessary for the plot and everything to use rape as a plot device again on the show? And some people are, you know, quitting watching the show. So it's definitely controversial.
Yeah. I don't really understand. I can see it from a TV viewer only being controversial, but in the books, you know it's coming. So, but you also have to realize that it's two characters here that are combining. You have Jane Poole, who is this was Sansa's friend, who actually marries Ramsay, who he rapes, and then you have Sansa, who is still in the Eyrie in the books. So it's a weird story, and you can see how it's weird. Like, why build Sansa up in the previous episode and even in the bath scene where she's this strong character, only to have her return to this weak, timid person who just gives in? Mm-hmm. So I don't. It didn't make sense to me either, but you also have to think about it kind of like what Jack was saying last week. You want Theon to do something, and this is a good catalyst for Theon doing something. You know, of
but if
seeing
he's going to do something, why wouldn't he do something there?
Yeah, I mean, he's still scared to death, you know, and this is just the first step, maybe. I mean, heck, you never know. Next week could be even worse. You don't know what'll happen. So
he even says when he goes, you know, to take her arm, and Sansa says, "I'm not touching you."
Right.
He goes, he'll beat me. He'll torture me. He'll abuse me. Basically, you know, you can see the fear in him. Mm. But the way he was crying, it was an emotional scene, and I think they're just. Not that they need anything else for Ramsay to die and us to go, thank God, finally killed him off. But I think for Theon to do it, he had to be pushed to the brink. And I think this is it. I mean, I think this is what is the final straw. And I think when he has his chance, I think he will kill him.
Yeah.
I think Theon will die in the process, but I think he will kill Ramsay.
Maybe.
I guess it's just, it seems at this point, did they need, well, I guess if this is the thing that pushes them over the edge, sure. But will that be the case? And if not,
then it was, I mean, obviously rape is something that's, it's not a comfortable subject. It's, I think they handled it the best way they could, as far as they didn't actually show they didn't show up. They showed Theon a reaction to it. Again, like I said, if it's for nothing, then it was. I mean, hopefully this is just the final straw that pushes Theon over. I get why people are uncomfortable with it. I'm uncomfortable talking about it, but like I said, I think they handled it the best way they could, as far as visually, if that makes sense.
And yeah, you're saying it's from the, it's. Because some people are arguing that wasn't, you know, for the character, it's a different character, but right. It's because they combined the two characters.
Yeah, they had to do something, I think, to show Theon's struggle better. Because it's the same thing in the book. It's a lot more graphic in the book, too, what they do with Jane Poole than what they do with Sansa in the show. So it's really tame. But I guess what other objections also is the fact that you also have Cersei and Jaime practically raped her last season.
Right.
And in the books, though,
I think he did.
Yeah, he did. But in the books, it's consensual. So it's not. So you already have one rape last season. You have another rape this season. It's like, why? How are you showing women in this show? Which I understand that. But then again, you can also argue that, you know, you had Theon get castrated. You know, Arya killed a child this episode. I mean, you have lots of things that are really inhuman, and that's just a reflection of the world that they live in this show. So, yes, rape is an awful thing, but there's also lots of other awful things happening in the show.
So basically, if you like this show, you're an awful person, just in general. That's the...
Well, I am. So, you know. I don't know. I have no answers. I knew it was coming, so I wasn't shocked. And I get why people are. But it's either...
I didn't know it was coming, but I wasn't shocked. Because it's Ramsey.
Yeah, it's Ramsey. Exactly.
And he's just a terrible, terrible person. I was shocked that he had Theon watch. I said, what is that? The only thing, going back to where I'm thinking, okay, Theon, the only reason they would show Theon watching is Theon's going to just, his rage is going to finally, he's going to become a man again and do the right thing. That's what I keep hoping.
Yeah.
I mean, is there any other reason to show the scene, to have the scene, to keep the story going along?
Exactly. Yeah. And
you don't need any more shock value in Game of Thrones to get people to watch. There's so many things that have happened in this series, you know, starting off when, you know, from season one. I mean, right away, it's like, oh my God, you know. It's just there's so many oh my God moments. We don't need another oh my God moment to keep us watching the show.
Right. What was I going to say?
Sorry. I was older and didn't want to forget my thought. My thought.
Yeah. Well, I forgot my thought in the process.
So Nick might be young, but he has the mind of a 6-year-old.
Hey, that's true. Ginkgo biloba, people. Yeah,
I need Is that still a thing, ginkgo biloba?
I think so. But
oh, really?
I don't know how well it works.
I know you go get me a couple cases.
Yeah. No amount of ginkgo biloba will help you, Jack.
That's true.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those things. You know, Game of Thrones has had its share of controversial moments in the show. And for a lot of, it seems like at least right now, a lot of people, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. So we'll just have to see how it kind of
I think that people are just reacting. I think that they're true fans. They'll continue watching. But maybe there are some that just said, all right.
Yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily true fans. It's going to disturb some people, true fans.
Well, I'm just saying if you're a borderline fan of the show, like, oh, you know, I can't take this. I can't. Eventually, you're going to say, "All right, I can't take it anymore." I mean, there's certain shows that you watch and you go, "Okay, it's not good enough. It's not entertaining enough for me to keep watching." There's some shows like Game of Thrones that it interests. You know, every week, I'm fascinated by what goes on. Like I said, it was a disturbing scene, but not enough to keep me from watching the show.
Yeah, because I'm sure there'll be some redemption at some point for Sansa and Theon and.
Yeah, I hope
everyone
so too.
Else.
I hope Sansa, you know, fights back, and you know, lights the candle in the tower,
and Brienne comes running. Just hopefully it wasn't a waste.
It wasn't
of
in vain. Yeah.
Right. Because again, I'll say it again. There's no reason to have shock value anymore on this show.
Yeah.
You don't need it anymore.
Yep. For sure. For sure. Well, what do you say we get into the recap of this episode, and let's talk about it.
All right, let's do it.
All right, here we go. So the episode title is Unbowed, Unbent, Unbroken. And correct me if I'm wrong, this is the house name of Martell?
Oh,
or?
Yes, the Martell's motto. Mm-hmm.
Any history behind that, or it's just that's their picked?
That's just what they picked. I don't think there really as much is... stories behind why they picked what they picked, other than Highgarden, I think, is the only one. Storm's End, maybe. But, yeah, it's nothing, as far as I know, I guess just because they don't really give up. Because throughout history, when they got to Dorne, they burned their ships, so they had to live in this sandy, arid area and make it on their own. They never surrendered their people. When Aegon the Conqueror came, he conquered all the kingdoms except Dorne. And they just wouldn't surrender. So I guess that's more the motivation behind their motto.
Nice. So. Well, the episode starts with Arya, who's still cleaning the dead bodies. Great job.
What's the deal there? How many people die in this place?
Lots of people.
It's just not a cool place to live.
Well, I guess it gets to it later on why what they're doing at the bodies, at least. But
yes.
Yeah, she wants to go and see beyond what that door is, and
what. Who wouldn't want to see beyond the door?
What's behind the curtain?
What's in the box?
Yeah. What's in the box?
We should give her three doors. Door number one, door number two, door number three.
Yeah.
Womp womp. let's make a deal.
Yeah. She's curious. Yeah, and she tries to, the door's left just a little open. She runs to it, and the waif, or the other trainee girl, shuts it and denies her, which, of course, Arya is not too happy with that. She really wants to know. And then the girl, she says, I want to play the game again. She's like, you already failed. So they play the game of faces, what they call it on the show, but it's called the lion game in the books, which is the same thing. She tells her this whole story about her being from Westeros, from a noble family, but her stepmother tried to kill her. And so she got the faceless men to kill her stepmother, and she's served them ever since. And then throws Arya a curveball saying, now, was that true? So she was playing the game with her, and Arya didn't even know it. Skip to the next scene. Jack and Agar does the same thing almost. You know, says, who are you? Said, I'm no one. Well, she actually admits, I'm Arya. And it's interesting, you have to kind of watch it closely, but she's telling Jack and Agar her whole life story right there. Mm-hmm. But she's throwing in little lies in it. And every time she lies, he smacks her with the stick, because that's what he's training her to be able to lie and say things convincingly to anyone. So, and of course, she gets hit so much that she finally gets frustrated, says, I don't want to play anymore. You know, and says, we never stop playing, because that's what they do for a living. That's what being no one is. You're always someone else. So
nice. And then we go to Tyrion and Jorah, the next buddy cop show.
Yeah, I'm good.
No. Tyrion, overshares a little bit too much and has a somewhat awkward exchange. Sad and awkward.
It's a sad one. Yeah, they're traveling by foot to Meereen, and Tyrion explains why he was in Essos. And how he killed his father, and that his father was sleeping with his love. And then he kind of, at a moment of levity, he's trying to say, at least you had a good father. You know, my father was horrible. To Jorah, doesn't believe, like, how would you know my father? And unfortunately, Tyrion slips up and admits that his father's dead, which Jorah doesn't know, which is a bummer.
That was an awkward moment.
Yeah.
Yes, very, very sad. And then we go back to Arya, to what you mentioned earlier. There's a father that brings, kind of exasperated, his daughter there that's very sick and is not getting better, and he kind of wants the pain to end. So then Arya uses her lying skills to convince her to drink the water.
Right. Yeah, and you see Jaqen M'ghar watching the whole time, which was interesting because. I wasn't sure what Arya was going to say to her, and you see her, like, she just kind of lies convincingly, like, here, like, you know, this made me better, but you already know this is the gift of death. So
right.
Arya is pretty much killing this girl, which I thought Jaqen M'ghar would actually get on to her about her later, say, like, you're not ready to give the gift of death to these people. But, you know, it didn't happen. But after him witnessing her doing this, he leads her down into the Room of Faces, so she gets to go into the door that she couldn't go before. Where she sees a room just full of human faces.
Mm-hmm. Trippy, very trippy.
I couldn't do that room.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, I'm not sure. I was curious if the TV viewers thought maybe they were statues or something, but no, they're actually real human faces that are all just in there.
So I'm guess so. They wear these people's faces, and that's how they kind of. Or it seems more magical when we see it on screen than, hey, I got this dead dude's skinned off face, Buffalo right. Bill style, that I put on.
Yeah, it's not, it's not really, you can't really do it in real life, but it's not really explained too well either in the books. But yeah, that's what they do with the bodies, is they remove the flesh, they remove the faces. And if you guys remember from a couple earlier podcasts, I told you that, Jaqen M'ghar is not the guy that's training Arya in the books. It's another guy, and for the first few times she sees him, it's just his skeleton. It's just his skull face that looks at her. And so not till later that he puts on a face for her to see. So I'm assuming you just naturally assume that they take off their own face and give it up, and then they just wear other people's faces for the rest of their lives.
So, that's kind of cool.
So that's why, like, when he asks her, is a girl ready to give up her ears, her nose, her tongue? You know, like, that's what Arya eventually, if she completes her training, will have to do, is get rid of her own face.
So will it be a different actress playing her?
Well, I don't know. It's not in the books. I have no idea. Okay. It's not there yet. And I'm assuming that if they do go with that, that would be another actress for at least, you know, some scenes. If she goes to do some mission, maybe they would get another actress just to portray Arya in that character.
Is the voice the same though?
That's a good question.
Face, is the voice the same?
That's a good question. Because you can't really read a voice in a book, but yeah, I would think the voice would be different too. But on the show, they might still give it to the actress's voice.
Okay.
But it is interesting. But you know, he does, after he asks her, "Are you ready to give up all this stuff? Give up all these things, her hopes, her dreams, her hates, her loves?" He says, "No, you're not ready for that. But maybe you're ready to be someone else." So possibly another testing of some sort coming in the next episode.
Yeah. And then we go back to the buddy cop movie of Jorah and Tyrion. And we get introduced to some slavers with none other than Adewale Akinnaoye Akbaje, otherwise known as Mr. Echo to the Lost fans out there. They want to cut off his member and sell it because it's lucky. But Tyrion, again, uses his brain to kind of get him and Jorah out of immediate danger and to where possibly Khaleesi is.
Well, he basically said it. You'd be surprised. You know,
it's not dwarf. Yeah, well, it's not the first time in the show he's talked about how proud he is of his manhood.
Yeah, so. It's like, hey, back up, buddy.
Yeah.
Let's compare.
But I was shocked. I wasn't expecting Mr. Echo to show up. I was like, oh, it's Mr. Echo.
Yeah.
I was expecting to have him his Jesus stick and everything.
It has been a while. Good to see you.
And Lucia, we can't take these slaves.
I actually enjoyed the conversation, though, before the slavers get there, that Jorah and Tyrion are having, because it's questions that I've had for a long time, because this conversation doesn't take place in the books, of just, you know, what makes Dany so special? Like, why are you following her? And what will she do after she conquers? I mean, she's never been there. She's never ruled. I mean, why are you following someone? And
will she be a good queen? And as we've seen, she hasn't.
Right.
She's made a lot of mistakes.
So, and I really wish you could have answered that question, because that's when the slavers come along. You're like, no, answer the question. But
well, he's in love with her.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Let's hope with his grayscale, he's not loving her anytime soon. But I do love that. Apparently a dwarf penis has magical powers. And there's so many good, weird things. But Tyrion, like you're saying, Jay, Tyrion does, using his wits very cleverly, gets them to agree to sell Jorah in Meereen for the fighting pits competition. And so it gets them to do what they wanted to do all along.
Yeah. Yep. Which I thought was very clever. Very, very clever. Then we go to Littlefinger, who's going on to King's Landing, and gets stopped by good old Lancel. Littlefinger and Cersei meet, and Littlefinger kind of unveils his grand plan.
He really does, yeah. And I'll get to that. But, like, to the Sparrows and the Militant Faith, like, those scenes are always, to me, are so awkward, because it's just like, who are you to tell me how to live? That's too much of American in me of, like, you know, like, get out of the way.
If you don't like it, you can get out.
That's right. America. You know, that's what you're going to do. But I do love his little line there. We both peddle fantasies. Mine just happened to be entertaining. You know, like, it was a good
line.
Yeah. But yeah, like the Littlefinger Cersei scene was really, really interesting, I felt, because it's kind of confirmed what I had said earlier, what I thought Littlefinger was doing. And Cersei still plays this naive, like, I didn't order any of this. You know,
that's really annoying, by the way. Like, I just can't stand her. She needs to be destroyed.
And truly have the spawns of Satan?
Yes.
Well, what is she supposed to say?
But she's so evil.
But she... She did. It was a forced marriage. arranged marriage. She didn't want to marry the guy.
Oh, I get that, but I don't know. It just
her kids got sent away, right?
That's sympathy for the devil. I don't care.
I'm just saying, I can see a little. I have a little bit of compassion for her.
This is the girl that wanted to kill a boy and shove him off the thing because she was sleeping with her brother.
It happens. It happens.
Well, it does.
Should the boy have been peeping, putting his nose where it didn't belong? Right.
Who's a boy? It's what boys do.
Yeah. Hey, you take a risk.
So you're saying his name should have been Tom?
I think she'd be more in line with evil Ramsay, evil Cersei together, match made in heaven.
She's not anywhere near Ramsay bad.
No, but her son was almost as bad. So
her son was, and she at least she knew that he was crazy and there were problems with him. At least she knew that. She tried to change his work because he became. You know, he was the king, and he.
But again, it was her son, so you blame the parent.
You always blame the parent.
You hopefully do. I don't know. Now that I'm the parent, I don't agree with that so much. But.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah.
I set some guidelines. It's up to them. Here it is. I wrote a contract down. They broke the contract. No, she's a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's. If you check out her backstory, listen to her story.
I get it. Again, she's playing the Game of Thrones. It's her line,
right?
So she's playing it, but
I don't put her in Ramsay's category.
Not as evil. I would agree.
She's just manipulative. Yeah, and she thinks she's clever, more clever than she really is.
That's my biggest problem. Nick, you made the point last week that this is a dangerous move by her, and I really think. It's going to come back and bite her in the butt because if again, it depends on how virtuous this High Sparrow is, but what's to say he's not going to turn around for the same thing that he's, you know, holding Laris against for herself.
Well, exactly. I think that eventually they will find out that he will turn on her because he probably already knows that Jaime is the father
of her children. They'll be able to find the proof. And
I think you're right. I think that will be her downfall.
Well, you already have the room, you know, when Tommen went to try to visit him, and you have everyone in the crowd going, you know, Abomination and everything else. It's already widely believe it anyway. So it's
just rumors. A matter of time.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a lot of stuff going on in this scene, which I really like, because you see Littlefinger say, that the Tyrells aren't going to stand for this and that they're going to be insulted. And she's like, I'm insulted because, you know, he chose to lie with a boy instead of with me. And this is what's really clever is you see Littlefinger say, isn't it curious who we choose to be our companion? Which he's kind of hinting at her like you and Jaime, which she you can see in her face she gets insulted. And then, of course, she turns around and insults Lysa.
Yeah.
Which is I get it. She's crazy. I killed her. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. But ultimately, she wants to know where his loyalties lie because she's – she's so – narrow-sighted. She wants the war with the Tyrells, it seems, and that's all she wants is to know if Littlefinger with the veil will support the crown if they go to war with the Tyrells now. You know, so he's like, oh yeah, sure, my loyalty's always been to the throne. You know?
Yeah.
But you see it though, right, you know, what you were saying earlier, like right now, this is where he really unveils his plan, because he rats out that Sansa Stark is in the North now.
Mm-hmm.
To which she doesn't know that. You know, she didn't know he was up there either.
Yeah.
But, of course, she naturally just reacts the way she does. She gets furious that the Boltons are betraying her and her family. And because she knows – because the Boltons know that she wants Sansa dead. But Littlefinger does make the case, though. But it strengthens their power in the North if they marry. But she's like, I don't care. You know, I want them all dead. So –
How much time has passed from the time Littlefinger left Sansa till he arrived at the? I think she said it's like 2,000 miles away.
She said it's 1,000 miles.
1,000 miles away. Yeah. Okay.
The thing is, though, is like this show, and even George R. R. Martin says it. Like he's usually not really concerned with distance and time.
Okay.
Because in reality, it takes 6 months to go from King's Landing to Winterfell. Because if you remember in season one, they were on the road in those wagons forever to get up to see Ned and all them, and then they were on the way back. It took a while. But, you know, all of a sudden he just made it down there, and it seemed like a day. But
okay.
So, it's confusing. And there's lots of other theories and things like that with things. They're like, oh, well, if this was happening during this time, then how could this, you know, people argue constantly about distance and time. But just try not to get hung up in it.
Well, he has big hawks that he flies on.
That's, yeah.
That's a J.R.R. Tolkien.
Tolkien, yeah. The eagles always are there for when you're in a bind. Eagles save the day.
Yeah. You can almost... dead. Eagles will come in and save him.
You can almost end every single Tolkien book with the eagles, and it's almost as if that happens.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I saw a funny photo that a guy put up of a collection. It said The Hobbit, Fellowship, Two Towers, and Return of the King. It said, God, where are the other two books? I mean, they... Anyway, going back to Game of Thrones.
Nice segue.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, but Littlefinger advises caution, though, to Cersei that Stannis is marching on Winterfell, so let's let the Boltons and Stannis fight it out and get weak, and then if you allow me to, I'll take the Vale and attack Winterfell as well. And all you have to do after I win is name me Warden of the North. So Cersei actually kind of smiles and says, I'll propose it to the king. And so it's a smart play by Littlefinger, because now either way he wins.
Yeah, it was just, I thought it was a smart move, because he said he'll, you know, the winner, whoever wins, will be weakened.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a great plan by him.
But he's thinking this way, you know, like if Stannis wins, then he's going to name Sansa Warden of the North, and then Littlefinger wants to marry Sansa.
Right.
So, but if the Boltons win, and he marches in with the Vale, and he wins, and he's Warden of the North. So either way, he ends up being Warden of the North. So that's his plan. So then he would be, like I said, Protector of the Vale, Warden of the North, and Lord of Harrenhal. So he's got a lot of land if this comes true.
Which, again, he's one of your favorite characters, so it's kind of a cool scene to see him come from nothing, essentially, and really the pieces are somewhat falling into place for what he wants to do.
I wouldn't say he's one of my favorite characters. He's just one of the most interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he is a little weasel. So.
And then we go to the Dornish countryside with our friends Jamie and... what's his name? I blanked on his name. But Bronn.
Well, first we see a brooding romance between...
That's true,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But, it's in New Orleans. Yeah, but going back to Bronn and Jamie. Bronn is entertaining us with a nice song. And
he's one of my favorite characters.
But I wanted to hear the ending. We didn't get to hear the ending. It was the best part. But, yeah, they arrive at the water gardens in an attempt to steal Marcella. And then it cuts quickly to the Sand Snakes preparing as well to kidnap Marcella before Jaime and Bronn can arrive. Then Jaime and Bronn show up to see Marcella kissing with Tristan, which I guess that would be a little awkward seeing your daughter just making out with some guy, and you're like, oh, hey. But she does, they do see them, and she's like, oh, hey, Uncle Jamie. And
what you doing here?
Yeah.
I'm just kissing.
I'm your dad, but I can't say it.
And then she said, well, it's not like we're related.
Yeah.
Kissings.
Yeah, true. Oh, that's true. At least I'm doing better than you, Dad.
I have morals, Dad. I'm my uncle.
Yeah. But he wants to kind of tell her in private that they need to run, and then of course Tristan interferes, which forces Bronn to knock him out.
He did warn him.
He did warn him. Yeah,
just run away. Just give him some time.
I think it's strange. Like, I don't know. It's just me being a military historian kind of person, that all of the soldiers and everyone else is carrying these Arabic daggers and swords, but Tristan's carrying a rapier, which is a French sword that was used hundreds of years later. So it's strange.
Maybe because he's a prince, maybe?
I guess, but it's more of a fencing sword. And then everyone else has got these more just straight out hacking type swords, like the broadswords. So,
yeah.
You know,
okay.
So, but anyway. But yeah, like before they can get Marcella out, though, the Sand Snakes attack, and we have a pretty neat little fight happen.
Yep.
And I kept, every time that the whip was used, though, and around someone, I just kept going, cut the whip. Like, I just,
yeah, I said the same thing. I go, hit the cut, hold it and slice it.
Yeah. And then she has no weapon, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's not as dramatic in that sense.
True.
But again, it would be cool in a Indiana Jones kind of, he does this whole fancy thing and he shoots him. Right. You know, well, if they could have played off that way.
He could have cut the whip and he said, you brought a whip to a knife fight?
Exactly. And then Bronn would have said something like that too, because he's smart.
Yeah.
But what's, if you guys noticed it or not, though, and I have a bad feeling about this, but Bronn did get nicked by a blade.
Yeah, he did.
And it's probably poisoned. So.
No. Well, I can still watch him on Ripper Street, so I guess that's okay.
That's what I'm thinking. It's because, you know, I mean, these are Oberyn's children, and that's what his, that's what he was famous for, was poisoning his weapons. Mm. So
I didn't think about that.
It's the probably safe bet that Bronn's a dead man.
Bummer.
Eh, it was bound to happen anyway.
Yeah. But the Sand Snakes nearly do escape with Marcella, and then they're interrupted by Ario Hota with many guards forcing them
Ario's
all to surrender.
Speedwagon.
I say that.
Force them all to surrender. They all have to surrender, and then they also take Ilara Sand prisoner as well, who is Oberyn's lover.
Yep. I thought that was going to be a bit more epic. I guess there's probably more to come with that, but
Well, how does Jaime explain being there?
Exactly. Like, it's just, so we'll see where that goes.
Well, I guess he can say, "Yes, see, they were out to kill her, and we got information about that. That's why we came over here, under, you know, without invitation." I don't see how you can explain it.
That's true. Yeah, we'll have to see. Because this hasn't happened in the book, so I have no way of answering it either. Okay. So,
yep. So then we have. The matriarch of the House Tyrell arrives because of Ser Loras being taken, which leads to a very great scene between her and Cersei.
Yes.
I know you're not writing anything down. I know you're not writing it.
Yeah, that was so clever. So, yeah, he's like, you know, quit trying to pretend that you're actually doing something constructive and just talk to me. Yeah. Which she actually, at the end of the scene, you know, it proves that she really wasn't doing anything because she just like, oh, I just lay it down, do nothing. But it was funny. She's talking with Margaery first, just about how we've, you know, got it. I'll deal with Cersei. Don't worry about it. And and then once again, Cersei plays innocent once again. Like, I didn't arrest Loras. I didn't do any of this, you know. But the Queen of Thorns. Very plays her card pretty well. Like, you know, are you tired of all the food that my kingdom provides for the soldiers for King's Landing? Everything else, we can make that end. And then this alliance between the Tyrells and the Lannisters will not continue if our future ruler is in prison. And she's basically telling her that you're not Tywin. Tywin understood, even though they didn't get along, that they needed each other. But Cersei is just content on driving a wedge between them and going to war.
Which is definitely basically what's being forced right now.
Yeah. But then Cersei just kind of looks up and says, look, you know, you're overblowing all of this. It's just a questioning by the faith. It's not a trial. There's no charges against him. So, and then just, she just rudely dismisses the Queen of Thorns, like, that'll be it. And, yeah. Which brings us to the Faith's questioning scene.
The Inquisition. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody.
Of course, naturally, Loras denies everything. I mean, who wouldn't?
What?
He looks pretty rough, too.
Yeah, he does. So was lying the right thing in this sense? I mean, because one person, and they're just going to go off of that. I mean, it's obvious this is a witch hunt to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's still, you know, your word versus mine. But I guess in this realm, that's good enough to condemn you. But Yeah, they need, you hate to say it, but they need lawyers.
No, yeah, they
but, yeah, no, they don't. Yeah. But Loras denies everything, and so then they say, okay, well, then we're going to ask Queen Marjorie, to which she, of course, denies everything. And so you think, like, oh, great, you know, Loras is going to get off. But then they bring in a witness, which was his squire, which was Sir Loras' squire, and also the guy that Marjorie walked in on them a few episodes earlier doing the deed. And then, which I guess proves that they were lying on the stand or whatever. And then he also reconfirms it by saying he has a high birthmark on his thigh. So that pretty much says, like, yeah, I've seen him naked. So, yeah, so then the church or the septon then agrees that there's enough evidence now to go to trial, and they both take Loras and Marjorie away to prison, which Marjorie starts screaming for Tommen to do something, but once again, he's just too timid and too naive, so he just doesn't do anything. So now they're in prison. Question, yeah.
So, I mean, as of right now, Cersei is quote-unquote winning, but
yeah, she's getting exactly what she wanted. Yeah, you can see it, like, the little smirk on her face, that when the Queen of Thorns looks over at her, she's like, yeah, like, everything's falling in the way I want it. You know, like, the Queen will be on trial and will be dealt with. The Tyrell's power is really shrinking in King's Landing, which is what she wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, from there, we go to another Popeless situation, but at least it seemed... In this scene, Sansa is a little bit of strength to give when she's in the bath, or the person, what's her name, gives her the bath.
Yeah, Miranda. Yeah, Miranda comes to visit Sansa and says, "I was instructed to give you a bath by Ramsay before your wedding." And while they're giving there, she starts telling her how you shouldn't bore Ramsay. You know, you need to keep him entertained, because if he gets bored, then you're going to suffer. And she's actually being honest with, even though she is being manipulative, she's being really honest with Sansa, telling him how awful a person he is. But Sansa is, she's trying to be strong and play the game. And you see it there. She's like, you know, I'm from here. You can't scare me. Oh, she calls it out, you know, how long have you loved him? She can see right through that facade at first. Yeah. She's like, you know, you do love him. I get that. But so you're not going to frighten me. I guess that's what she was thinking more of, like, competition, like woman competition. You're not going to frighten me into not caring or marrying the guy that I'm supposed to. But yeah, she ends up eating crow on that. But then, yeah, Sansa's wedding comes along, and I actually thought that was the nicest wedding dress we've seen so far on the show. But yeah, Theon comes in to escort her down to the wedding. And I'm supposed to, you know, he instructs her that I'm supposed to take you by the arm, to which Sansa once again stands up, says, I'm not letting you touch me. I'm not, you know, to which Theon starts showing fear again, almost crying, like, he's going to punish me if I don't. And Sansa's like, I don't care what happens to you. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
And then we have the wedding, which was pretty low key in the scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. But we've had two successful weddings this season without a death. So
yeah, except for the death of a spirit.
Well, I kept waiting for something. I think we talked about this before we recorded. I kept waiting for something to happen to Sansa, because I got kind of spoiled when I kept saying things poor Sansa on the internet. I go, oh, stop, get off the internet before you watch it.
Yeah.
So I thought she was going to die.
Oh, no.
Nah, I didn't think she was going to die. But then we.
Well, from that, I thought that's what I thought. But.
Yeah. So we then have her wedding nights, and we talked about it before. Very uncomfortable, very horrible. Ramsay, you sick, sick man. You deserve to die a horrible death many times over. Or you could be married to Cersei, which is about just as bad. anyways, that closes out the episode. What did you guys think? This one, again, didn't have much action. It's just six episodes in. There has been some action scenes, but a lot of setup. A lot of setup. Which it seems like how these seasons always go. It's a lot of setup. In the penultimate episode, everything goes crazy, and then you have resolution in the next episode.
Right, yeah. Everything's usually a build-up for episode 9. And we're on 6, so we've got 2 more before the big payoff. So,
I liked the episode. I thought it was really good. Of course, you know, the scene at the end, do we need it?
No, I don't think you do either.
No,
it could have easily had done been just simply like shut the door and hear some screams or something. But
yeah, I mean, at least they didn't show the actual act. I mean, they showed them ripping the back of the dress and throwing it on the bed, and you could see Theon's expression. And I think someone posted on our Facebook page. It was great acting on the actor's part.
Absolutely,
it was fantastic acting.
That's what I thought too. Was that, you know, I get that the rape is bad, you know, but they didn't show it, and that's what was great about it is, you know, they just showed the dress being ripped, and then it was all the actor Theon's facial expressions of just conflict, him crying, him shaking. You have fear, and you have so many emotions in that facial acting that you don't know exactly what's going through his head.
And I'm trying to be careful how I word this question. Was it his actions, his acting, that made the scene worse? As far as you know what's going on, and just your anger for no one likes Ramsay anyway. There's I can't think of anybody out there who goes, oh yay Ramsay, I love Ramsay. But is his acting what made it worse? Because you could just see the pain in his face. Mm-hmm. That maybe that's what made the scene more uncomfortable for people.
Yeah, well, I think it's part that. I think it's part two that Sansa's been through so much. She had to go through, you know, what's his name?
Joffrey.
Joffrey. And, you know, narrowly escaped the true torture of being with him, being chased, her entire family to her extent killed. We're finally, hopefully, seeing her kind of stand up and take charge, only to be raped. And it just seems like you kind of build up this character by trying to be stronger, trying to be something more than the victim is what she's pretty much been, and you rape her.
But what can she do? She's married a psychopath. She's married a crazy person, and she's all by herself.
Well, then you could have just chosen not to marry him. She could have stayed with Littlefinger or whatever. I mean, I don't know. Again, it's all part of the show, and I get it. But I also get where people are upset in the
I get it. Like I said, if there's no payoff, then there was no reason to have this scene at all.
But that is what it is. It is now time to get into listener feedback. We got two phone calls from Priscilla. So what do you say we get into it?
I say we do it.
All right, here we go.
Hi, guys. It's Priscilla again. I'm actually just grading papers, and it just dawned on me. So Stannis was talking to Samwell. He wanted to see the person who killed the White, and he now knows that he was able to kill these people with Dragonglass. He still wanted Samwell to continue reading, hopefully to find maybe some more information on how to destroy them. But Stannis does tell him that they have Dragonglass in Dragonstone, where he lives. Do you think that maybe he might send, I don't know if the entire fleet went with Jon Snow, that maybe he can send one boat off to Dragonstone, grab some of that Dragonglass so that the brothers are able to attempt to defend themselves. That was it. All right. I gotta go grade my papers. Bye. Hi, guys. It's Priscilla again from New Jersey. I just watched the episode. I was contemplating everything. Oh my God, my brain really does hurt. It actually, my heart hurts for Sansa. So I wrote some notes down. I just wanted to hear what you guys think about them. So last week's call, I spoke about the candle and the large abandoned castle where Bran fell. After seeing this episode, she needs another way to call for help, because by the time she gets to the castle, the hunting dogs and Miranda will get her. Let's start at Winterfell. I was shocked to see that the wedding occurred at nighttime. I think I was in denial until I saw her walking down towards the large white tree. And the ceremony conducted was really, really beautiful. But it's a shame that it had to be with them. And it really broke my heart just to hear Sansa being abused. And Reek's face, oh my goodness. He's been doing some superb acting. Thank you for HBO for not showing it. because that would have really, really, really hurt. Will the Starks ever get a win, guys? And off to Dorne. I enjoyed Bronn singing again. It was a nice callback to him singing before the Battle of Blackwater. Marcella looks truly happy in Dorne. More time away from her mom, happier she gets. It's really great. And the prince even sees that. So that was really good to see that the prince is even acknowledging that the girl is truly happy there. And that battle between Bronn and Jaime and the girls, I don't know. Not much to say about it. At King's Landing, Cersei was acting like her father, trying to write and scribe all these different things while she's ignoring the guest that she had right in front of her. It didn't work so well. And Littlefinger, what is he doing? Like, how much chaos can you create? Did he only truly love Kat? Does he care nothing about Sansa? And Tyrion and Jorah, their companionship is looking great. I think Tyrion just can make any duo awesome. Great acting from Jorah also when he heard of his father's death. And I wonder if his father took the black because of the shame of his son selling slaves and things. Because why would he go? I'm not too sure why. And Tyrion's gift of gab saved him again. When I heard that they were going to cut off his best buddy, I thought of Varys losing his buddies to magic. And lastly, Arya. So this whole game that they were playing is pretty much live very, very well. And I guess she passed by having that young girl drink the water from the well to the gods. And did anybody notice that she was whipped when she lied about caring about the Hound? I think she truly did care about him. She was just, she's a Stark. They're stubborn. And how far does the House of Black and White go? We went to one area where they're cleaning off the bodies, and now we go to even further level down where now we see all these faces. Pretty cool. And so Jaqen tells Arya, you are not ready to become no one. You are ready to become someone. Maybe I was reading too much into it. It made me think that he has an idea of what face he wants to give her. Perhaps somebody who's noble, maybe who's somebody who has power. I don't know. So those are my thoughts. I just saw the episode once, so I'm just trying to collect my thoughts right now. But that's it. So have a great day, and hope to hear from you guys soon. Bye.
All right. Thank you for those calls.
Yeah, I think she's right. I think Arya did like that. Did have some feelings for the Hound.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think she did care about him.
Yeah, because it's the only time that he smacked her when she felt that she wasn't lying. But yeah, I mean, you could see that she did kind of respect him at times. I mean, he did save her life, and they did kind of bond a little bit.
Right. But she still wanted to kill him.
Yeah, she still wants him dead.
But she didn't kill him, right?
Right.
So there's that.
And then that's a good theory about the dragon glass and Dragonstone, because that is a place. Dragonstone has lots of dragon glass, and I could totally see Stannis, or because right now Jon and the Night's Watch does have Stannis' ships on the show. So if Samwell does figure that out, it's possible that they could send a ship down there to get some dragon glass.
Does Sam go off to get it?
Sam does take a journey. But I'm not going to tell you where. Okay. But it could. I mean, the show could rewrite it that way, where he does go to Dragonstone.
He could bring Gilly. Gilly, it's going to trip Gilly.
It's true. So he could show her. Yeah,
give her something to do.
Something to do. So she's not so dumb.
My favorite part was cutting off his best buddy, Tyrion. I did laugh at that part.
It's magical.
It's magical, isn't it?
And then she had another. It's true, though, too, like about the farther away she is from her mother, from Cersei, you know, like Marcella, the happier she is. It's like, oh. Everyone has mommy issues.
All the best cowgirls have daddy issues.
Have daddy issues. Mommy issues. Mommy issues. There you go. Well, she has daddy issues, but she doesn't know it.
Yeah.
Yes.
A load of those kind of issues.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for this listener feedback, Priscilla. All of our listener feedback, thank you very much for contributing that. Everybody else, you can contribute as well at 206-309-0311.
Really, you can call anytime.
Call anytime. Don't worry about waking up Jack. He doesn't mind. All right, so let's go to what happens in the books stays in the books section with none other than Nick Dunn. So we talked a little bit about the storyline combination that has ended up being Sansa's storyline. But what else from the books is different in this episode?
Well, first in Braavos, the Waif in the books during the Lion Game or the Fate Game of Faces. Like I've already told you guys before, she doesn't speak the common tongue of Westeros in the book, so it's a little bit more clear during this game that she's lying. This whole story to Arya when she says, "Now did I tell you the truth or not?" Because Arya is teaching her how to speak the common tongue. But, however, the difference is, though, she does tell her the same story. Like, I'm from Westeros. I came from a wealthy family. My stepmother tried to kill me. And then this happened, you know. But instead of saying, is that true, she basically says, one part of this is true. Which part? And that's the difference between the Lion Game. The Lion Game is like you have to give them 3 to 4 things. And one of them is true and the rest of them are lies. And you have to figure out what's true and what's not.
Gotcha. 2 lies and a truth. That'll
get yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. Also, Arya never really gives the little girl the water, because that's why I kind of thought it was a strange scene, is like because she hasn't really advanced to that stage of where she can choose between who lives and who dies. So I thought it was a bit awkward that all of a sudden Arya is just like, oh yeah, I'll give you the gift of death. So, but so here, and then she's only brought down to the faces, the room of faces, when she's given her first assignment to actually go kill someone, to kind of pick out her face. So, and that was part of the listener call too, I think, but yeah. Something about that. I can't remember what it was, but anyway.
Well, how far it goes down is that?
Well, no, it's something about the faces, I think she said, but it is. I love Arya. Arya is my favorite character, so like I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with her and how far of an assassin she becomes. That's what it was, maybe. But anyway, but you could easily see. That's what she was saying. She's like, you could be someone else. When he said you could be someone else, yeah, it's very possible that Jaqen gives her an assignment in this next episode to go infiltrate. Let's just say the Bank of Braavos, because you know that. You already know that Lord Tyrell is coming to Braavos to bargain a better deal for the debt of King's Landing and Westeros. So it could easily Arya could be in there because she knows that what's his name, Meryn Trant is going to be there, who is on Arya's list of people to kill. Mm-hmm. So that could easily be where they go with it on the show.
Okay.
So, in Dorne. Marcella and Tristan are just children in the books. They're like 8 and 9. Mm-hmm. So there isn't really a romance going on. They really just sit around in the water gardens, play board games together like children would do. So that's just a little difference. In King's Landing, Margaery is arrested, but it's not because like I told you guys, earlier, Loras is, at Dragonstone right now. Fighting that battle, and then he comes back and he's wounded, so he's out of the picture that right there altogether. But Cersei does maneuver to get Margaery arrested by starting rumors that she's been having extra or outer marital affairs with young boys in her room, because remember Tommen is just a small boy as well, but right. She's older, so that's how she gets her. She's like, oh, he's been cheating on my son, and she gets the faith to arrest her on those charges. And then she gets people to other witnesses to say, yes, I slept with her and all these things.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then, you know, we've already talked about this too, but Littlefinger obviously doesn't ever return back to King's Landing in the books yet, because he's still in the Vale with Sansa. But it makes sense, because this is where I thought it was going. This could be something that happens in the books too, but it makes sense to where that character is going.
Now, if Littlefinger was there, would he have tried to? I mean, I guess he wouldn't have known, but would he try to stop the rape?
Well, I think he kind of knew what he was giving her to, because he had to have known that he was a psychopath.
That's true.
I mean, all he cares about is the end game. You know, as long as he's on top, it's fine. And the thing is that he knows that Ramsay or Ruse won't kill her, because if they did, the North would never support them.
Right.
So it's, I don't think he cares about what happens to her as long as he ends up on top.
Right.
So, and then the last little bit is just simple, like Jorah and Tyrion, like I said earlier, they are taken by slavers in the books, but it's because, remember I told you they were on a boat. They paid passage on a large ship, and they were attacked in the books, and after the boat is sunk, they're picked up by them and just made slaves, and then are taken to Yunkai, which is a city that Dany's already conquered. But at this point in the books, the masters have already retaken Yunkai and made it a slave city again. So, but in the show, they already have taken Yunkai and made it back into a free city. So, little subtle differences.
Interesting.
All right.
All right, well, that is it for this week's Game of Thrones with Jay, Jack, and Nick. We will see you guys next week. For episode 7, hopefully some harm will be befall Mr. Ramsay.
I don't think it'll happen yet.
Yeah. But hopefully not. We don't have to wait too long for that. But either way, we will see you guys next
week. What if it doesn't happen? Will you guys be upset?
Well, yeah, then what's the point?
Yeah, I'll be upset.
I don't think anything's going to happen, like death-wise, to Ramsay or Ruse this season. I think it'll happen next season. I just can't. I mean, it could. It could happen right at the very end. I just don't see it happening this soon, because they're if you kill them this season and there's already going to be two more seasons, then what do you do with the North? So it doesn't really make sense to kill them right now. I could see it kind of ending at a dramatic point this season, but not a full outcome.
So are they saying there's only going to be two more seasons? Is that kind of the rumor?
The producers have said that they want to do, because there's seven kingdoms, seven points of faith. They want to do seven seasons of the show. So we have five, so there'll be six and then seven. That's it.
What if HBO says, we're going to give you a lot more money to keep doing it?
I think they've actually already negotiated it to where they're, or maybe they haven't, but that's what the writers have said. But I know a lot of people are upset just the fact that they're changing so much of the books right now, and that they're just going to kind of give us a cookie cutter ending of, because George did tell them the ending, but not how to get to the ending. And so a lot of people are afraid that they're just taking all these loose ends and just saying, oh, we'll just fit this there and go, oh, there's the ending.
It'll just fade to black and then Jordy will start singing.
Yeah. Or give the Westeros a Coke.
Yeah.
So
I'd like to buy the world a castle.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you next week. Until then, hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.